Green for Author House and Author Talk. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is a fascinating book. It's a biographical sketch, and the title is The First Black Mayor of Terry, Mississippi, a memoir. And joining me is the author, Roderick T. Nicholson. Welcome, sir, to the program.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Well, Mr. Mayor, this is a fun and fascinating look, because in looking through the book itself, there are some fascinating achievements that you were able to gain while in office that hadn't been done by previous mayors. How did it come about? Where is, first of all, Terry, Mississippi? That's one I'm not that familiar with.
Okay, well, Mississippi in general is a rural state. It has maybe only two or three what you call urban areas. And Jackson is one of them. Memphis, well, you know, they're Memphis, the suburbs of Memphis, several of them are in Mississippi, and probably the Gulf Coast. But Terry, Mississippi is in Hinds County, the same county as Jackson, but it's in the south part of the county, and it's off of Interstate Route 55.
I know where that is. My grandchildren, two of them, graduated from a school there in Jackson. So I know enough to be dangerous. I used to travel that area years ago when I was trying to do a career that is not what I'm doing now. So I'm a little familiar with it. But when you arrived in the town, or was when you were elected, there were a lot of holes in the, how shall I say it, in the structural content of the town. And how long ago was it that you became mayor?
Well, I became mayor in 2005. Well, let me back up.
Sure.
I was an alderman for one term, and I think that was 2001. And in 2005, I was encouraged to run. And I actually turned it down two previous times, because there's nothing in my on my radar that indicated that I would ever have been in politics, really.
Right.
But I was asked to be on the board, and I thought about it and everything, you know, with my friends and family, and so I did that. But even as that, I had no intention or even thought that I would ever be the mayor at the time.
Right. The library, you've included photos of some of the before and after pictures of what you were able to accomplish. Municipal bonds, I guess, were part of that process also, right?
Well, it wasn't really municipal bonds per se. This is a small town, and I'm actually, once I became mayor, and I had gone to City Hall like a lot of people do, paid my water bill and stuff like that. But until I became mayor, I never really saw the real inside of the building. It was in really bad shape.
Right.
And I spent maybe as mayor, the first year trying to repair it. The insulation was poor. The roof was bad. Mm. And if you remember, 2005 was the same year as Katrina.
Yes.
It's really a wonder that Katrina did not blow that building down, because we did get the hurricane. It passed through the central Mississippi area. But at any rate, the first building that I built, or, you know, kind of spearheaded, you know, happening, was the City Hall building. And I think I put pictures in the book of the original City Hall building. It was really like a house that had been converted. It was somebody's house.
Yes.
A residence that had been converted. And I think it was City Hall / court. That's what they used it for. But it was in very bad shape. The insulation was poor. The heating was, antiquated. It was space heaters throughout the entire building.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was. The picture in the book does not do it justice, because one of the things that I'd done to the previous building was paint it, because it was a frame building that hadn't been painted in years. So we didn't manage to paint it. And, you know, one thing I learned about in politics, you always try to, what's the word? You put lipstick on it and put it
lipstick
put
on a pig and try to sell it.
Image of something, you know, no
Absolutely.
Matter how it might look underneath. But after a year, this is just throwing good money after bad.
And your background, is it education? Is that what your primary career was to that point, or no?
And see, I was a part-time mayor. People don't realize that. So I was a part-time mayor, and I got like a a salary of like maybe $300 a month. Because all the time I worked as my chosen occupation was a civil engineer.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it needed some engineering, definitely, when you arrived in town. And you've done this in 150 pages. I understand the motivation that someone that would have to tell their legacy and also to underscore, hey, listen, I made a difference. Was that your motivation on this? Was there more to it than that?
Well, it was. That was some of it, but... the one thing people may or may not know about me, I'm an avid reader. I love to read, absolutely, you know. And when I have, that's probably the nearest to a hobby that I have is reading.
Amazing.
And as an African-American, the one thing that I can say is that sometimes I think our history as a people is a little bit distorted because of, if you go back to our history in America, I mean, we just have to be honest about it with slavery, where you weren't taught to read, or weren't allowed to read.
Yes.
And so the history of that part of, you know, the America's history has been told, but a lot of times it's distorted because it's told by people other than African Americans.
Absolutely.
And so I felt that, you know, I don't think everything is racial. I don't really want to, you know, always go there. But sometimes things are, you can't really ignore it. So I decided, you know, because there were some good things, there were some not so good things that happened. But for my legacy, I guess, so to speak, I wanted to at least put my version of what I thought, you know, my reflection on this period of my life.
Well,
and other people, they can say whatever they got to say too. But
absolutely,
I do think my perspective, you know, just to give it balance.
That's fantastic, because I'm not amazed or surprised, but every once in a while there will be a person from who had a history of maybe being a slave, and once they're freed, they are geniuses. I mean, they have discovered medical science things,
yeah,
and have created elements of life that really have enriched the whole universe, including the United States of America, and especially the United States of America. And I'm saddened to some degree that my knowledge of their name and their history has been buried in all of the historical references to the bad part of what happened back over a century ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're doing this is certainly helpful to the reader. Do you have, if I may ask, grandchildren and a progeny of relatives and so on that maybe didn't know about all of the details of your work as a mayor?
Well, I don't have any grandchildren yet, but I do have three adult children. And, of course, they are certainly aware of what I've done. Now, some of my extended family, you know, just like families are, you know people, but if you're not around them every day, you don't really know them.
Excellent.
I mean, you know that they're related to you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes even at family reunions, it has to be explained to me how I'm related to some people. I guess
I get that all the time. How in the world mm-hmm. you get in the family is what they do when they look at me. So I can relate to that. Yeah, I've got friends and you know that I'm around all the time, and they find out things about me. Said, well, I didn't know that. In fact, I was talking to a mm-hmm. Actually a cleric. It was a pastor, and mentioned something about my family history, and some of them said, well, I didn't. You're such a happy-go-lucky guy. I didn't know there'd be anything like that in your family history. So yes, all mm-hmm. of us have things that we maybe need to share or want to share, and a book is definitely a wonderful way to do it. 150 pages. How long did that take, sir, to complete?
You know what? It didn't take me as long. I'd say it probably took me about 3 or 4 months, and it was kind of like maybe doing like your dissertation. Part of it was therapy, because I would make a commitment to myself, although I didn't always live up to that commitment. I would say, well, when I decided that I was definitely going to do it, I'd say I'd devote an hour a day to it. And sometimes I wouldn't do anything. And then sometimes I'd say, well, let me just try to do an hour, just come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, you know, the therapy part was sometimes I'd sit there and it'd be like several hours. And I get so intense sometimes, I almost forget about the time. An analogy is kind of like you ever had a night with,
yep.
And so you toss and turn. Mm-hmm. And then when you're supposed to get up, you know, like you got to go to work or something, then all of a sudden you get real sleepy. Writing was kind of like that to me, in as much as, you know, fortunately I was at a word processor instead of a real typewriter.
Oh, thank goodness.
If I, you know, something, whole passages I didn't like, I could just take them out or erase them, or, you know, get, you know, delete them or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes, you know, those creative juices start to flow and you just don't, let me just get this one thought. And then that would kind of lead to a tangent on something else. And sometimes I'd just be sitting up there and realize, oh, I've been sitting up here 3 or 4 hours and I'm drenched. I'm sweating, you know, this is some kind of emotional experience for me. And I went through a number of days like that, you know, and I guess maybe I'm probably like, I'm not really a writer. I mean, I write, but I'm not, wouldn't really have considered myself an author before this book. But I did kind of do an outline, what did I wanted to say, and, you know, that kind of stuff. And you kind of fill in the, you know, fill in from that.
Fill in the blanks. Absolutely. Yeah. The writing process is different with everybody. Some are able to just sit down and creatively produce something in a very short period of time. When you're dealing with history to some degree, did you ever keep notes or have a journal while you were mayor of the town? Or was this just something you had to reflect on and get accomplished?
It was mostly reflection because I never really, it never even occurred to me to write a book.
Well, one of the things one of the things you accomplished while being mayor and discovered, I think, and I'm sure there was pushback. I can just imagine the others on the city council or otherwise that were in administration in the town of Terry, Mississippi, were using city funds just like it was a credit card. Were they paying for going out to dinner or partying? What was their issue? What did they use it for, and how did you stop that?
Well, that's basically what I was accused of, but what people were, this is some of the, I don't know, situations that I found when I first became mayor. The city of Terry, the town of Terry also maintained its own utility, its own water and sewer
mm-hmm.
system.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I realized, and you got all these specific rules about what you can and what you can't do. You're not supposed to make certain monies that, you know, that was kind of explained to me.
Right.
But I realized, and every part of the town was just barely hanging on, really. And I realized that certain businesses, certain people hadn't paid a water bill in like 2 years, at least.
Amazing.
It just wasn't happening. So that kind of situation I did see. Now, I didn't really understand politics. Even though civil engineering is probably the engineering discipline that's probably tied most to the public sector,
mm-hmm.
I was, you know, public service is different from being in politics than public office. Let's put it like that.
Yes.
There's a difference. And I didn't realize it at first, but I did after a while.
I'm sure.
And politics is, and I just was really quite naive, really.
Well, most of us have a viewpoint of life that everything is great, really, under the surface, and people are better than they really are. I mean, it's just,
well,
I think it's human nature.
I guess I am the kind of person most of the time I like to think that the glass is being half full rather than half empty.
Yes.
And coming from an engineering, you know, discipline, where everything is kind of cut and dry, one and one is always equal to two. You have different philosophies even within engineering. But I really, in a naive kind of way, thought that I may not always be able to get what I want, but if I explained to somebody what my position is, A, B, and C, they'd at least kind of come around.
Yeah.
And politics does not work on logic at all. It's about agendas.
Uh-huh.
That's largely.
And protecting your own territory.
What it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, that's a sad part of it.
And I was so naive to think that, well, this was, there were places, it was a small town, you know. The downtown was the most depressing area you've ever seen. Going into City Hall was depressing. I mean, the place was a dump. It really was.
Paint didn't fix it, did it?
Our library, we had a part-time library that was open like maybe a couple of hours, 2 days a week. And it was an old single wide trailer that had a couple of lives even before it became a library. And I just thought, well, we could do a little bit better than this, guys.
Absolutely.
You know.
Well, it's an amazing story. The book, again, 150 pages. Was there one thing in the book or one challenge that you hadn't, you didn't really know too much about what was going to happen when you became mayor in the first place, but what was the most outstanding challenge that you were able to overcome?
Well, I guess getting a few things done, building a, you know, some of the need that the town had, we had like, I don't know if you know a whole lot about, and I didn't know until I became mayor, every municipality or every county, your insurance rating for fire and stuff like that, you're rated on a 1 to 10 scale, with 10 being the worst. And we were a 9, and we had been that way for like 50 years.
Ouch.
And, you know, I'm the kind of person that says, well, that's what we're here to do, try to fix things. And what can we do if we wanted to improve? Because the reason that you want to improve it is because it makes your insurance rates lower. And say that if there's a business or, you know, like that who is thinking about, well, your location might work, you want to give them some insurance, you know, some assurance that, say, if some kind of event were to happen, that the likelihood of, you know, you getting a fire truck there,
yes,
with water,
yep,
or police protection, you know, those kind of things. Businesses want those kind of securities. And they don't want to have to pay a whole lot for it. I was very motivated, you know, to make that happen. And you do things like some of the regions, you go back and you kind of look at it in reverse. Well, the reason our rating was so poor is because we didn't have the records of what we were supposed to do to, you know, give, you know, the certifying, you know, body that this municipality has done this A, B, and C, you know, in order to you know, say, you know, give confidence to, you know, the general public or the business community or whomever, you know, might be, you know, considering whatever it is that they might be that has to do with the town. And I talked to, we had a volunteer fire department. Of course, you know, you couldn't go to a full-time fire department because that costs money and, you know, salaries and, you know,
yes,
all that kind of thing. So I knew that probably wasn't going to happen, but I even queried the volunteer fire department, well, what can we do? And surely that you guys want to make it improve. And they kind of had an attitude that, well, it hasn't happened. And, you know, people are always trying to make it happen, but it's just not going to happen. And I says, well, I didn't ask you what's not going to happen. What needs to happen in order for us to get, you know, the rating or the consideration that I think that we, you know, ought to have. And so, at any rate, getting the records together, that was one. And that was one thing I did. There were other projects that I did kind of in the interim. Because, I mean, there was just thousands of, maybe not thousands, but there were many things.
Yes. Well, in looking at the photos in the picture, you were able to incentivize some builders and so on to build out a new subdivision in the town. I mean, there's a lot of interesting side stories that are part of this. And I think it's a great read. I think anybody that has a curiosity about government, even if it is on a small town, I think that would be wonderful. And certainly your history and your story is something that will inspire people. I believe that will happen. The title of the book, again, is The First Black Mayor of Terry, Mississippi, a memoir. And my guest author, who's joined me from Texas, I don't know if you're visiting or whether you've moved, but
I live here now.
You're living in Texas. Well, it wasn't a bad choice.
Yeah.
Mississippi's nice as well.
I started a few years ago, I started my own consulting firm. Decided to move out here. I started out in Mississippi, but I felt maybe a little bit more opportunity.
Well, wonderful.
Right around COVID, that's when I did it, but that was probably the best time. But it really has turned out to be more opportunity, you know, for somebody with my background. I was semi-retired because I retired from my full-time job with the federal government. Because that's what my full-time job, even though I was a part-time mayor.
Well, wonderful. Congratulations on retirement, and also on publishing and finishing this memoir, which I think would be a great read. And I think even though my dad has written a memoir of his life and his upbringing, but it was really designed for his immediate family. It wasn't something we distributed broadly. This, I think, would have an appeal to just about anybody that picks it up. It's an easy read, 150 pages, and hopefully you'll get many people that will follow you and perhaps get a copy of this. The First Black Mayor of Terry, Mississippi, a memoir, Roderick T. Nicholson, Mayor. Where do we get copies of this?
Well, it's available just about anywhere, of course, through my publisher, which is Author House. It's available through Amazon.com. It's available at BarnesandNoble.com, Walmart.com. There are other, most places that have books.
They can also do a search under your name, I believe, and find this, or the title of the book, and their local.
And see, one thing that that Author House was generous enough to do is that they have set up a web site for, on my behalf. It's tied to the book. It's rodnicholson.com, I believe.
Fantastic. Well, let them do a search, and they'll find you, and maybe we'll also find out about your current business as a consultant. There'll be some in our audience that may want to connect with you on that as well.
I hope so.
So that would be wonderful. It's great visiting with you. Congratulations on the book, and hopefully it'll do very well for you. And we'll hope maybe get a chance to talk again if you write another memoir about maybe your time as an engineer in the engineering area or in the area you're in right now. So thank you again for joining me today.
Well, I certainly appreciate you having me. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure. For Author House and Author Talk, this is J. Douglas Barker.